Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
There are some things in life that you have to invest in, right? Like the important things in life, like your health, your body, your physical fitness. You need to invest in it, and if you don't, you'll become, well, unhealthy. You know, your body will become flabby and overweight. This year, my wife wanted to help me to invest in my physical fitness, and so she bought me a week of private fitness lessons at a health club here in town. And I decided that though I still feel like I'm in pretty good shape from when I was in the varsity debate team back in high school, I'll give it a try. So I called and I made this appointment with someone who told me her name was Tanya and that she was a 26-year-old aerobics instructor and athletic clothing model. And she encouraged me to keep an exercise diary. And so here are my entries. Day one. Started the morning at 6 a.m. Tough to get up, but worth it when I arrived at the health club and met Tanya. She's something of a goddess with blonde hair and a dazzling white smile. She showed me the machines and took my pulse after 5 minutes on the treadmill. She seemed a little alarmed that it was so high. Tanya was very encouraging as I did my sit-ups, though my gut was already aching a little from holding it in the whole time I was talking to her. This is going to be great. Day two. Took a whole pot of coffee to get me out the door, but I made it. Tanya had me lie on my back and push this heavy iron bar up into the air. Then she put weights on it. Legs were a little wobbly on the treadmill, but I made it the full mile. Muscles all feel great. Day three. The only way I can brush my teeth is by laying the toothbrush on the counter and moving my mouth back and forth over it. I'm certain that I've developed a hernia in both pectorals. Driving was okay, as long as I didn't try to steer. Tanya was a little impatient with me and said my screaming was bothering the other club members. The treadmill hurt too much, so I did the stair monster. Why would anyone invent a machine to simulate an activity rendered obsolete by the invention of elevators? Tanya told me regular exercise would make me live longer. I can't imagine anything worse. Day four. Tanya was waiting for me with her vampire teeth in a full snarl. I can't help it if I was a half an hour late. It took me that long just to tie my shoes. She wanted me to lift dumbbells. Not a chance, Tanya. The word dumb must be in there for a reason. I hid in the men's room until she sent Lars looking for me. As punishment, she made me try the rowing machine. It sank. Day five. I hate Tanya more than any human being has ever hated any other human being in the history of the world. If any part of my body was not in extreme pain, I would hit her with it. She thought it would be a good idea to work on my triceps. Well, I have news for you, Tanya. I don't have triceps. And if you don't want dents in the floor, don't hand me any barbells. Day six. Got Tanya's message on my answering machine, wondering where I am. I lacked the strength to use the TV remote, so I watched 11 straight hours. of the Weather Channel. I want to die. Day 7. Well, that's the week. I'm so glad it's over. Maybe next time my wife will give me something a little more fun, like a gift certificate for a root canal. Okay, none of that is true. But what is true is that we have to invest in the things that are important to us. We have to invest our time, our energy, our focus. And that's what we're going to talk about today as we conclude our series, Losing My Religion. You know, throughout the series, we've been talking about the fact that what God wants is not for us to have a religion, but instead for Him to have a relationship with us, right? And we're learning that it's just not about religion. It's not about a to-do list. It's about a relationship. So what are relationships about? Well, time together, communication, shared interests, intimacy of heart, crying together, laughing together, sharing, you know, life's journey and life's joy together. But here's what I want you to realize today as we conclude this series. Though it's about a relationship, that doesn't mean that it's all just fun and easy. It also involves work. Do you know why? Because all relationships take work. Every relationship takes work. Every relationship needs investing. Like, I had friends in high school who I was really tight with, and today we have absolutely no friendship. You know why? Just because we stopped investing in that friendship, right? If you don't invest in a relationship, it just doesn't work. And so we have to invest in our relationship with God. It takes some work because all relationships are like that. Marriage, you know, in marriage, you have to date each other and you need to spend time together. My wife and I have a great marriage. We've had a great marriage, but we had, like a year or two that wasn't great. It was just okay. And what was the problem? Was it me? Was it her? No, it was that we didn't invest in our relationship the way we should have. It's the same with your relationship with your parents. I got a call one day from my mother, and she was crying. And I said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "You know what's wrong?" And I said, "No, I don't. What's wrong?" She said, "You know what's wrong?" I said, "What? I don't know." And she said, "Every time we talk, it's because I call you. You never call me." And I was like, "Oh, man." And I realized I hadn't been investing in that relationship. It's the same with your kids as a parent. You know, if you don't invest time with your kids, they're not going to grow up and say, "Man, I had the greatest mom. I had the greatest." They're going to say, "Yeah, we didn't have much of a relationship," right? And so today we're going to see that we need to invest in what's important to us, and we're going to talk about investing in our relationship with God, in our relationship with other people, in our spiritual life. We're going to look at the book of Galatians. We've been going through the book of Galatians in this series, and today we're in chapter 6. And in the verses we're about to look at, you're going to see the words sowing and reaping. Now, they're farming words, but basically sowing means like to put seed in the ground, and reaping means what you get out of the ground. And so the principle that we're going to find here is that what you reap is what you sow, that when you make an investment, you're going to reap the rewards of that investment. So let's check out Galatians chapter 6. "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." You know what it's like? It is kind of like physical fitness. When I moved to Las Vegas, I stopped caring for my physical fitness. I stopped investing in my health. I didn't eat very healthy, and I haven't exercised much, and so I became unhealthy because I stopped investing in my health. Thank you. recently I made a decision, man, I got to turn things around. And so I started eating a little bit healthier. I started exercising a little bit and started making some improvements. What's interesting though, I made the same decision back in 1999. I was at a point where I was overweight and wasn't healthy, kind of like today, and I decided, you know what, I'm gonna lose some weight. I mentioned it to a friend of mine named Kevin. I said, man, I'm going to lose some weight. And Kevin was one of my best friends, and he was real athletic. Like, he had just gotten out of the NFL. He played for the Giants and the Panthers. And he said, man, can I help you? I was like, no, I'm just going to lose a couple pounds. He said, no, let me help you, man. You have helped me so much. Like, you know, kind of bringing me back to God and with my spiritual life. I'd love to help you with this. And I said, all right, I guess. So Kevin designed a eating program for me and an exercise program for me. And I started doing it, and it worked. I mean, I lost a ton of weight, about 40 pounds, and I got in really good shape. And it was because I was investing in my health. But guess what happened? I stopped investing in my health, stopped eating right, stopped exercising, and so I got unhealthy, right? And here I am today again in the same place. And it's the same in our relationship with God. That relationship with Him can be healthy and vibrant, or it can be kind of flabby and non-existent, you know? And the difference is whether or not we're investing in it. It's about the time that we put into that relationship. If we invest in it, it's going to be healthy. And if we don't, not so much. And there are all kinds of ways that we can invest in our relationship with God. Mostly it's by spending time with Him. It might be, you know, praying. Not just a prayer before your meal or a prayer before you go to bed. I mean, those are good. But I'm talking about like really praying, like pouring your heart out to God. It might be reading the Bible, not reading the Bible like you read a newspaper, but reading the Bible like you're asking God to speak to you through it. It may be through worshiping, you know, listening to worship music like on your own and just singing to God. It just might be going like for a walk out in God's creation, out in nature, and just kind of thinking about God and you know, kind of talking to God. It could be serving other people for God. And there's a sense in which when you're serving for God, it's like you're serving with God. It's like He's right there with you and you feel close to Him. It might be being here, you know, at church and hanging out with other people who are on the same journey and singing together and learning together and taking communion in all that we do here. See, the determining factor in how your relationship with God is going to be is what you invest in it, because you will reap what you sow, right? Whatever you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. And the reality is, man, it's not about religion, it's about a relationship. But that doesn't mean it's all fun and easy. It takes work. It takes work because all relationships take work, right? And the truth is, honestly, relationships are difficult sometimes. Your relationship with God is going to be difficult sometimes. Why? Because it's a relationship. And all relationships are difficult sometimes, right? And so sometimes it's going to be tough with God. And honestly, it's an odd relationship. You can't see God, you can't hear Him, you can't touch Him, but you have this relationship with Him, and sometimes it's going to be hard. And that's why we need each other. See, with religion, I don't know, maybe that's something you can do on your own. Maybe that can be like an isolated thing. You know, you're just checking off your religious to-do list. But we're not talking about religion, right? We're losing that. We're talking about a relationship with God. And sometimes what happens is that we need relationships with other people to help us in our relationship with God. Sometimes that means we're going to have to look out for other people. In fact, this chapter, Galatians, that's exactly how it starts, by talking about this idea. So let's look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. If someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. See, it's saying help each other in this relationship you're trying to have with God. Help each other in your spiritual lives, because it's not always easy. And sometimes we need help. And sometimes what that will mean for you is that you need to help someone else. You know, it's kind of like spotters. You know, when you lift the amount of weight that I am currently lifting, you really don't need help, because honestly, it's just not that much weight. But when you start to lift more weight, a lot of weight, it can be dangerous, right? Like if you can't lift the amount of weight you're trying to lift, what happens? And so what you need is, you need a spotter. You need somebody who's right there just in case. Somebody who cares about you and is focused on you. And if you should need to help, some help, then they're there to help you, right? The same is true in our spiritual lives and in our relationship with God. You know, a lot of the time we're fine. We don't need any help. But there come moments, there come times in our spiritual lives where it just gets difficult, you know, where the burden is more than we can bear. And when that happens, we need to have somebody there to help us. And sometimes you have to be the person who's there for someone else. Back in Virginia Beach, I have this friend, really good friend. And one time, this is years ago, we were driving down the street. And he turned to me and he said, "You know, Vince, I have never wanted to sin so much in my life." I was like, what do you mean? And he said, "Oh, nothing, nothing." I said, "No, what do you mean? What are you talking about?" He said, "Nothing. Just if you could pray for me." I said, "I'll pray for you, but what are you talking about?" And he said, "It's just something. I know I shouldn't do it, but I want to do it, and I think I'm going to do it." And I was like, "What are you talking about? Like, tell me." And so it took a while, but finally he confided in me that he was on the brink of having an affair. Like, he and this other woman had already talked about it. They had decided where they were going to meet, what they were going to do. I mean, it was all planned out, and it was about to happen. And he said, "I know it's wrong. I know I shouldn't, but I can't not. I mean, like I just want to so bad." And I said, "You know, you're not going to, and I'm going to help you, and we're going to make sure this doesn't happen. You are not going to ruin your marriage. You're not going to do this to your kids. You're not going to do this to God." And so we talked and we prayed. And honestly, for the next weeks, I babysat him. I was with him all the time. Or if I wasn't with him, I knew exactly where he was, because I wasn't going to let him screw up. And he would have. As we talked about it and discussed it, we realized that he needed to tell his wife. The circumstances were such that he had to be around this other lady, and so she just needed to know. And so we kind of worked through that, and he confided in her. He let her know what was going on, and And she was obviously hurt. And so my wife and I started meeting with my friend and his wife, and we helped them kind of deal with the pain of what was going on. We helped them as they started to heal from the pain, what was going on. And the cool thing is, the thing that was going to happen never happened. It's actually, it's kind of cool. I just saw them this year, and I hadn't seen them in a while. And when I saw them, they said, "Hey, do you know our anniversary was a couple weeks ago?" I was like, "Oh, cool. That's, congratulations. That's great." I said, "Yeah, we were going to call you on our anniversary." I said, "Why?" And they said, "Because Vince, we wouldn't be married if it wasn't for you." See, sometimes you have to be the spotter for someone else. As a Christian, it's your responsibility. What this chapter of Galatians chapter 6 is telling us is that it's your responsibility to be close enough to some people that they trust you and that you're the person that they'll turn to when the burden is just too much for them to bear, and you're able to be there and to help them through their difficult time. Sometimes you need to do that for someone else, but the reality is sometimes you're going to need someone to do that for you, right? Sometimes you need to be the spotter for the other person, but sometimes you're going to need that spotter. In fact, that's what this passage talks about next. So let's pick up back in Galatians, starting with the second sentence in verse 1. "But watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load." See, sometimes you'll have friends who are struggling and you need to be there for them. But what these verses make clear is that you're not all that, and neither am I, right? And so we all have weaknesses. We all have struggles. We all have times where we're going to be tempted, where we're going to fall. And so there's going to be times when we need a friend who can be there for us. Probably one of the most difficult times of my life came when my wife was pregnant for the second time. She got really sick. I mean, like, just constant throwing up, couldn't keep anything down, all kinds of problems. And so she ended up having to stay in the hospital for about a month of her pregnancy. And my life got crazy, and it went downhill fast. It was just kind of insane circumstances. We had our first child. He was about a year and a half at the time. And so I became a single dad and no experience with anything like that. So I'm trying to take care of him, but I'm also trying to be a nurse to my wife. Like, I visit her in the hospital 2, 3, 4 times a day, just trying to drive him back and forth to the hospital, spend time with her, bring her stuff. And also at home, I'm doing everything, right? I'm cooking all the meals. I'm doing the laundry. I'm mowing the yard. This is back in Virginia where we have this thing called grass. If you live in Vegas and you've grown up in Vegas, you may never have heard of such a thing. You should go somewhere and check it out sometime, as this green stuff grows in the ground. But anyway, I was mowing the yard. I'm doing everything. And my life just got, I don't know, difficult and complicated, and I felt like it was impossible. And what happened was I stopped having time, or I don't know, I stopped making time, I guess, to spend time with God. I stopped praying. It wasn't like a conscious decision. I wasn't angry with God. I just didn't have the time, or I didn't take the time. I stopped reading my Bible. And my relationship with God became virtually non-existent during that month and towards the end of that month. And eventually, I just decided to quit. Not to quit on my relationship with God, but to quit ministry. I mean, I just felt like I couldn't do it anymore. I felt like a hypocrite. Like, I just thought, there's no way I'm going to keep walking up on that stage every week and teaching people from the Bible when I'm not personally reading the Bible. There's no way I can go up and talk to people about having a relationship with God when right now I don't have a relationship with God. And so I decided, I'm going to quit ministry. I can't be a hypocrite. I can't do it. looking back, it seems, I don't know, a little rash to have made that decision based on circumstances that would not last. But I don't know, I was emotional and I was distraught, and that was the decision I made. Is I was just ready to quit, and I was going to quit, like for real. Well, just at that time, I mean, exactly probably that same day, I got a phone call, and it was my friend Kevin, the guy who helped me to lose weight, who had designed the exercise and eating program for me. And Kevin said, "Hey man, how you doing?" Which is what everyone was asking me during that month or two. It was obvious that my life was crazy. And so everybody I knew, every time they saw me, would be like, "How are you? Are you okay?" And honestly, I just kept lying to everybody. I was like, "Oh yeah, I'm fine. It's okay. It's fine." And it wasn't. But I just kept saying it was fine. But Kevin called me and he said, "Hey man, how are you doing?" And I said, "I'm not good. I don't know if I just had enough, or maybe I was just close enough to Kevin to be honest enough with him. I don't know, but I said, I'm not doing good." And Kevin said, "I'm coming over tonight." And I said, "No, man." And he said, "No, I'm gonna." I said, "Honestly, I don't want to talk about it, and I got too much to do. I don't have time to talk to you. I got a million things I have to do, so no, you're not coming over." He said, "I'm coming over." And I said, "Please don't." He said, "I'm coming over." And he did. And we talked, and I just kind of poured out how I was feeling and that I couldn't handle it. Like the burden was just too much for me. And he said, I don't know, he said exactly the right things. I don't know, God gave him the right things to say, or he has had wisdom, but he said exactly the right things. And what he said, it turned me around. It turned me around. It turned me back to God. It changed my attitude. It changed my desires. It changed the course of my relationship with God. I don't know what would have happened to me without Kevin. Would I really have quit ministry? I don't know, but I think so. Would I be here today in Las Vegas doing ministry? I don't know, but I don't think so. I don't think so. But you know, the cool thing is I don't have to answer those questions because there was a Kevin. And because we were close enough and had that kind of relationship, I said, "I'm not doing all right." And I let him come in reluctantly, but I let him come in and help carry my burden, because it was just a point in my life where I really needed someone to help me carry my burden. One of the things I realized as a result of just that whole situation was that I had been taking a pretty religious approach to God, that somewhere along the line, I had kind of lost the purity of my relationship with God, and I had started depending on this spiritual activity to-do list. You know, it's kind of what bolstered my relationship, and it almost become like the foundation, not even just the foundation, it had become what I depended on were my activities rather than just having this relationship with God. And so what I realized because of going through all that was that once again, I had to lose my religion and I had to go back to having this pure relationship with God. And the cool thing is, because God is a God of grace, because he's a God of unconditional love, he accepted me right back. And you know, I think that's something we all have to do. It's been kind of the whole idea of the series. We need to lose our religion. It's so easy to just keep going back there, right? To just keep going back to just let me figure out what the minimum bar I have to jump over is. Let me figure out what the list of a few things I have to do to make me feel like I'm right with God. And so we go to religion instead of just having a relationship with God, the relationship that he's looking for with us. And that's something we all need to do. We need to lose our religion, and we need to find and focus on that relationship with God. And the reality is that sometimes relationships are difficult even with God, and so sometimes we're going to need relationships with people to help us with our relationship with God. There are going to be times where we're the person that has to really help another person in their time of need and help carry their burden. And there are going to be times where we need someone else to help us in our weakness and to carry our burden. Listen, I don't know where you find yourself today. Maybe you don't have that relationship with God that you long for deep inside. And that's what you need to kind of take as your next step is, man, I need to find that relationship with God. Or maybe you have that relationship with God, but what you're lacking are relationships with other people. You know, you're not kind of living out your responsibility of being there for some other people who you can help. And maybe right now you don't have anyone to help you. You're kind of walking alone and you need some people to be there to help you when life gets tough. I don't know where you're at, but I know that our church exists to help you. We're here to help you take those next steps. We have people back at the Velcro bar in the back of the room every week who are there, and they're just there to help you, to love on you, to answer your questions, to help you figure out what's the next step, to help you get connected and find out how our church can help you as you walk in the spiritual journey towards God and with Him. And so we're going to give you some time right now, just a couple minutes, and it's just a time to ask yourself, where am I at? And what is the next step for me? Is it to lose my religion? Is it to really start a new relationship with God? Or maybe it's a relationship that you have, but you need to kind of get refocused on. Or maybe your next step is to find some people who can walk with you in that journey. Whatever it is, I hope you use this time to talk to God about that. During this time, we also offer communion. Around the room, there are tables with candlelight, and on those tables are pieces of bread and cups of juice. The bread represents the body of Christ given on the cross for us. The juice represents His blood shed on the cross for us. And it's just a tangible reminder, a kind of mysterious and, I don't know, almost foreign, but just beautiful reminder that Jesus came to earth. And Jesus gave His life so that we could have life and so that we could have the relationship with God that we've been talking about this whole series. And so if you want to take communion during these next couple of minutes, as there's some soft music playing, you can go and you can go to one of those tables, get the bread and juice, bring them back to your seat. And when you've prayed, when you're ready, you can eat and drink. And so let's pray and then we'll move into this time. God, thanks that it's not about religion. Thanks that You offer us relationship. God, thanks for sending Jesus so that we could have that relationship with You. Thanks for communion as a tangible reminder of that. And God, in these next few moments, would you speak to us as we kind of wrestle with what our next step is in our journey? We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.